On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use. Today is Sunday, April 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Sumanji, and thank you for joining me for another episode of The Hangar Bay here on a Sunday evening. I hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful week in the virtual skies before we get started on what I hope will be another good week for everyone who's listening. If you're new to the show or a regular listener, just a quick reminder before we get started that you can always follow along with this week's show notes on thehangarbaypod.com or watch me scroll through them in the video version of the show, which is hosted on YouTube or on Spotify. With that out of the way, let's get things started like we do each and every week with the flyby. So the flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. And if you're a DCS fan, well, we got lots of big news this week. So kicking things off, personal favorite, the COLA map, which is being developed by Orbex for DCS, is here. It has a scheduled release date into early access on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Let the countdown begin. On the Flaming Cliffs front, we got some good news for folks who like a quote-unquote simpler version of the aircraft. It sounds like the F-5, the F-86, and the MiG-15 are going to be added to a new upcoming Flaming Cliffs 2024 repackage, which is going to bring the total number of aircraft in that module for DCS up to a whopping 11. It's pretty awesome. Polychop hosted a live stream on their Discord server and provided the community with several updates about their in-development OH-58D Kiowa, with the highlight being that it will be released in late May or early June 2024. So we'll have yet another helicopter coming to DCS in the next 2 months. That's great news. And then on the hardware front, Thrustmaster is taking on the likes of Winwing, VKB, and Verpal with the announcement of a new joystick base in their AVA product line. And they mentioned they'll have new grips, extensions, and add-ons to follow in the near future. So that was a few of the bigger stories for this week. Stick around for the full show, where we're going to cover these stories in more detail, as well as the rest of the week's news. And on that note, let's get things started with the developers.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
So in the developer news segment, we bring you the latest happenings from game developers and related third parties. So kicking things off this week, we have the DCS newsletter, which comes out like it does every week on Friday. And in this week's newsletter, they detailed two of the major stories I already discussed. First, we're going to focus on the one I'm most excited about, which is the COLA map by Orbex. So we talked about this in previous weeks leading up to this news and hinted that maybe it would be arriving sooner than we expected. Well, and Orbex definitely surprised me, at least by being way sooner than we expected. Friday, that's right, May 3rd, 2024 is when this map is going to be releasing into early access. So quick recap, if you missed it for whatever reason, this map is going to be based on the Scandinavian Peninsula, so focused on the land and sea area, focusing on the Barents Sea and the Norwegian Sea. It's going to cover areas stretching along the Russian and Finnish border over into parts of Sweden and Norway as well. So if you like a cold weather map, you like a lot of greenery, which I think will be a nice addition, it looks like the COLA map is shaping up to be a perfect way to kind of capture some old or possibly new Cold War scenarios. They did release some additional details in the development diary, hinting at some of their plans following release and some of the major updates they're hoping to bring to the map starting as soon as June 2024. They said the major updates to follow after early access release will be winter textures. You know, obviously, this is a part of the world where that's going to be very important. So it looks like that won't be in the initial release on the 3rd of May, but will follow shortly thereafter. They're going to be adding 6 additional air bases, which I won't even attempt to pronounce because, hey, most of us don't even know where most of these things are anyway. Sorry if you're from the area. Then there's going to be addition of major military installations and training areas, new cities and towns, points of interest. They said they'll be adding complex industrial sites and that road runways will be a key feature of the area. So get your Viggens fired up. Let's get ready to roll. And on that note, shout out to Shamrock from the Stormbirds blog, who found an unlisted video on the Orbex YouTube page showing off 30 seconds of footage. I don't know at the time if this will still be available for you. It was on the Orbex official page. I have it linked in the show notes. It looks like it's been changed to private, but potentially by the time you listen to this, it'll be back up on their YouTube page. So that's at Orbix, O-R-B-X, official. Check it out if you're interested in seeing more. Hopefully that's a sign that we'll be getting a full trailer soon. With the release on Friday, I'd expect it won't be long before we see more on that front. Okay, shifting things over to the other portion of the newsletter, sticking around with DCS News, Flaming Cliffs 2024. That's right, we'll be getting a new update to this package. It's going to be the next chapter in the popular series. As I mentioned in the upfront news, it's going to be expanding the list of aircraft to include the F-5E, the F-86F, and the MiG-15. Now, you might be asking yourself, okay, we already have full fidelity module versions of these aircraft. Why are they adding it to Flaming Cliffs? Well, they touch on the fact that these were aircraft that were originally planned to be in development for MAC, which, if those of you who don't know, was a kind of a spinoff of the game, if you will, a lower entry of point series in the DCS lineup where players could get their hands on that as a side project, if you will, to DCS, where it's focused on these really in-depth study level, full fidelity aircraft. MAC was supposed to be like a easier, shallow learning curve entry into the series. Well, WAGS updated us on the Discord server and the official Eagle Dynamics Discord server with the note on that front. He said, quite a few words here, but the main takeaways was that was something they'd been working at. However, over the past few months, they've concluded that now is not the time to create a new IP that is separate from DCS. We've announced this today in a change in plans. So rather than dig in their heels on a previous decision to go forward with MAC, they've decided it makes more sense to roll most of these aircraft into a new iteration of the Flaming Cliff series. We understand that the Flaming Cliff series is not for everyone, but rather is focused on new players and those looking for a more relaxed game mode with a much shallower learning curve. And then the biggest takeaway, for now, we've shelved MAC. It's not dead. There's great potential in such a product, but it would need to take on a different form from what they originally planned to be successful. So lots to take in here, but essentially it boils down to MAC was something they put a lot of time in. They decided it doesn't make sense to continue with it right now, but rather than have these assets that they've developed just sitting on a shelf somewhere, why not repackage those for people who are interested in Flaming Cliff style aircraft, you know, a simpler entry point into DCS. And for someone who likes to fly more Blue Forces aircraft, I would have loved to have had the F-5 and F-86 when I first got into DCS. As it was just really the F-15, the A-10. I ended up purchasing the F-5 and the F-86 full fidelity modules anyway. And I got to be honest, I'm still excited to see them as an entry point for other players. Or maybe you're someone who didn't pick up these aircraft and it's just a nice way for you to get in at a lower price point. I think all of these are great options. I think it just makes a lot of sense. If you got a product on the shelf that can be of interest to players, especially new players, why not put it in the game? So I think it's an interesting feature. It might not be for most of the veteran players, but something cool to see. And to me, it just shows a good example of Eagle Dynamics learning to be a little bit more flexible and change things up on the fly rather than, as Wags himself said, digging their heels in and standing by a position that maybe doesn't make sense once they've had some time to think about it. So long story short, we're getting those three aircraft. They will not replace the existing full fidelity aircraft currently in the game. These will be new Flaming Cliff style versions. So essentially there'll be two separate modules now for each of these aircraft in the game. Okay, so that was it from the newsletter. So lots of fun stuff coming their way. And speaking of additional new aircraft coming to DCS, there was an FAQ earlier this week put out by DCS for the CH-47. So we talked a lot about this last week. So I'll say kudos to Eagle Dynamics for putting out more information. I think the initial announcement of the CH-47, besides getting the hype fired up with some beautiful screenshots and video of what the aircraft has to show off, was a little underwhelming in terms of what features would be coming out at the same time. So this FAQ was meant to answer some of those questions. I will say it's not often that a FAQ actually raises more questions than it answered. At least for me, that's how I felt. But I think this is the case where that might actually be true. So a couple things to go through here. Some of the content we've already discussed before, that, you know, right now you can get 30% off if you purchase the aircraft during the early access window. It's currently planned to release in June 2024. It is not available for pre-order on Steam, and I think we've seen that consistently. You know, if you're a Steam customer, pre-orders are just really difficult with Steam's requirements, so it's one selling point to move over to the official store. However, this is where it starts to get interesting in the FAQ. The next question is, why is the feature list so light? So the answer here states, we wanted to be sure we correctly listed features and when they will come out, either at EA release or during early access later on. We will continue to update the list here and on the store page as we have more info. This is an important module to DCS and needs to bring all the things you might expect from such a famous helicopter. This is just one answer that I mean, it's really tough to tell the community that the aircraft's going to be ready for purchase. I mean, it is available for purchase, and it's going to be ready for release in June. And then when you're asking, why is the feature list so light? The response is, well, we don't really know what's going to be available at release. That's kind of where I'm saying this is an FAQ that raises almost as many questions as it answers. And I think I understand why they're pushing this release so quickly with the Afghanistan map coming out. But man, it just feels really rushed, especially when it looks like the Kiowa is going to release, or the Kiowa is going to release in a full feature state. Like, it's not going into early access. It's going to be ready the minute it comes out the door. And from what Heapor is showing off with F4, it's going to be ready when it comes out the door. So I would have liked to have seen more concrete answers here, especially in light of the next question. Will Eagle Dynamics support and update logistics for this module? Eagle Dynamics says, quote, we can say that we are developing a novel logistics system for the CH-47 that dynamically allows the player to determine what is loaded and unloaded from the aircraft based on weight and area. While this will not be available at early access release, it is a high priority for the CH-47 and other cargo transport aircraft. Again, I mean, that is a huge feature that's going to underline this aircraft's viability in DCS, and to not have a more concrete answer other than we are developing, that is very nebulous in terms of when we can expect that. And this is a situation where I do think a lot of community members are rightly, I don't want to say disappointed, maybe frustrated in the early access setup here. Now, I am also, I'll raise my hand up as the one who said, hey, I just want a helicopter that could fly. I don't need a huge feature list to be excited about this aircraft. But I do think some of these answers could have been more thought out in terms of where are we going with this aircraft? What can we expect from a timeline, especially for something that's as integral to an aircraft as the CH-47. They went on to discuss a few other things. They do have multi-crew planned for early access release. Pilot multi-crew. So it looks like that'll be ready to go once it comes out the door. But the door and rear gunner are planned for after early access release. They mentioned that there will be fat cow or fart missions planned for the DCS or for the CH-47, not at release though. And someone asked, can we pick up downed pilots or player controlled vehicles? Again, that ties in. They are planning to introduce that at some point, but not at release. So I think the saddest thing about this though was they ended up locking the FAQ earlier in the week. They thought the feedback they were getting was not beneficial. I mean, that. Hey, it's their forum, right? They're welcome to do what they want to do. Sometimes I think they should just, you know, take it and engage more with the community. And, you know, you don't have to engage with all the negativity, right? You see a negative comment, just move on. Engage the ones who are there to help make the product better, but that's neither here nor there. So anyway, some good information. I would have liked to have seen more, but at least it's something. So I'm still excited for the aircraft. I just wish there were more concrete plans for it in terms of timeline, because it really just, in some ways, it kind of represents the best and worst of Eagle Dynamics, right? This looks like an amazing aircraft. I'm sure the flight model will be top-notch, but like some of the gameplay features that really underline the core of what you want to do with it are just left, you know, in the breeze, and we don't know when we'll see them, so hopefully it won't take so long before we see those things. And speaking of things we hope to not take much longer before we see, one other aircraft coming our way. Yeah, well, I mean, we got tons of stuff for DCS, right? Two maps and three aircraft in our plan for like the next 60 days. It's pretty incredible. Heapor, here's the news story I was trying to get to. Heapor updated the F4E Phantom progress. So over on their Discord, Cobra847 said they are still in the process of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, and stating that Currently, their plan is still on track with a release window no later than May 31st. That is consistent with their previously stated delay announcements. So they believe they're actually on track potentially for a release earlier in the month, but we'll wait and see. I mean, given their track record of delivering really high quality products, I think what we're looking forward to in this aircraft will knock it out of the park. This is one, I mean, like, between everything else we got going on, I don't have time to even learn the F-18 more than I already know it. So to get three aircraft and two maps in the next 2 months, you know, whenever you guys want to release it, that's fine. I'll probably be overwhelmed either way. Okay, shifting away from Heatbore and back to the Kiowa, we got the Polychop dev chat, as I mentioned in the upfront news. They hosted a live stream on their Discord that lasted roughly an hour and a half, and it was full of really, really good content over there. So if this is an aircraft you're in, I highly recommend you keep an eye out on the Polychop YouTube page. They're going to be releasing a recording of that video soon. In fact, that's what I was kind of waiting on for the show tonight, was to be able to provide you that link, but they're still a little bit delayed in getting that up under the YouTube page. That said, shout out to the user 511th Kato on the Hoggett subreddit, who did some really great recap notes because I was too lazy to record most of them myself. I basically caught that the release date is going to be the end of May and the beginning of June, and that was the big takeaway I want to share with you guys. But thankfully, he captured all the show notes, so I got a little bit more to share with you. And as I mentioned, when this aircraft does release, it's going to be going into a full release, not early access, so we'll be getting everything right out the gate. Now, content. What are we looking for in terms of content on release? Well, we're going to get 13 training missions. However, there will not be a campaign at launch. Polychop did say they're in talks with some campaign creators, but nothing official is planned. And there will be a full manual. I should have queued up like a choir of angels singing right now to play over that, like a nice little hallelujah. Maybe I'm the only one, but man, I cannot handle it when we don't get a full manual on release. So thank you, Polychop. Multi-crew. Yes, multi-crew will be there on release. There said but new code has been written to improve this, so it should be a step forward from what we've seen with the Gazelle SA-342. The aircraft will have pilot and co-pilot AI. The pilot AI is implemented. The co-pilot will come sometime after release. They did showcase a demo of the pilot AI in their live stream, which will be included in their YouTube video. I encourage you to check it out. It was actually pretty impressive. I thought it was really, really solid. Some other notes they had. The Kiowa, it does not have an interactive kneeboard. Maybe that's something that can be added on down the line. Also, this was a little bit of a bummer. It does not have a data link between it and the Apache. So only the Kiowa to Kiowa transmissions at this time. I didn't catch if that is a deal breaker in the long run or if that's something they're working on, but it won't at least be there at initial release. And then finally, it is not going to be available for trial on release. Some people had asked about that. I think that's pretty consistent with what other developers have done. So no surprise there. But if you were looking to demo it or whatever, that won't be the case. You'll need to purchase it to fly it on day one. Okay, so keep an eye out on their YouTube page. That's Polychop Official. You can also join their Discord as well, which I have linked in the show notes if you're interested in following more of the team there. All right, so a very DCS heavy developer news this week. Hopefully you hung with me there, and we'll get things shifted over to the hardware portion of the show.
Flight controls.
All right, if you can move it, toggle it, push it, or rotate it, hardware news is where we're going to talk about it. And kicking things off, this is a name I don't get to say a whole lot on the hardware news. We got Thrustmaster. That's right. Thrustmaster is getting into what I would refer to as the high-end hardware realm with the announcement of a new base. So they're calling this new product line AVA, A-V-A. So they are basically stepping into the waters with Verpal and Winwing and VKB. So they're making a base with multiple cams, with springs that can all be customized by the user. So what they advertise is, you know, create your ideal configuration from a multitude of adjustments offered by interchangeable elements. So just as you get with some of those other manufacturers, you can change the access curve via the cams, the resistance via the springs. One interesting thing was you can change the deflection of the stick by some mask sizes. So there's these transferable plates at the top of the base you can swap in and out if you want to have a limit how far or left or right or fore and aft you can move the stick. And then also there will be some damping forces you can apply via damper. So they said the base design has been created to make it quicker and easier to modify all of these settings of these internal elements. And you can also adjust the stick's resistance like you can on a VKB and Winwing right from the top via little screw holes. Per their Discord, this new base will be compatible with their HOTAS, the Warthog desktop plate, excuse me, and the existing grips. So the F18 or A10 F16 stick. They it uses the same screw holes, so you can use the same setups, clamps, plates, all that other stuff. And they did say they'll be announcing further grips, extensions, and add-ons for this AVA range at a later date. This is a whole ecosystem of products they're looking to grow into the near future. So the contents of this original delivery will include the base itself, two sets of cams, so you'll have a jet one installed by default. You know, that means like more resistance as you move left or right, you know, increasing difficulty in moving it as the further you get away from the center, or a more smoother setup with the aero cams. They'll have soft three sets of springs, soft, medium, strong. They'll have three of those masks, as I mentioned, to control how much deflection you get, a small, medium, or extra large. Some Allen keys, and what I thought was a nice feature, a detachable USB-C cable. I love that. That's probably my biggest complaint about some of the other bases where the cable's hardwired in there. A detachable USB-C cable, I think, is a really strong point. And then I have a bunch of pictures of what all this looks like rendered here in the show notes or in the video portion. The biggest bummer all of this is probably my biggest complaint about everything Thrustmaster does, and that's the pricing. I mean, I understand why they can charge more, right? Because you can buy this on Amazon, you get a Best Buy, you get a, especially if you're in the States, you get a Walmart, Best Buy, Micro Center, you get on the shelf, you get it today. You know, you order from one of the more boutique companies like Verpal, or VKB or Winwing, there might be a wait. But right out the gate, the base alone is $300 US. Now that does not include a plate. So if you are entering this Thrustmaster setup before and you don't have a mounting plate, that's an extra $30. And that does not include the offset adapter. So if you're someone who likes to screw your grip in and then maybe move it 15 or 30 degrees to the left, if you want to center mount your stick, that's another $30. So now say you get both those, that's $360 for just the base alone. I mean, you're rapidly approaching territory or even exceeding it where you can get a base and a stick from Verpal, from VKB, from Winwing, and those are already really high quality products. Now, if you own an existing Thrustmaster F16, A10, F18 grip, you know, whatever one you have there, this might not be that big a deal for you. But if you're new to the ecosystem and you want a grip and the full base adapter and plate, that's $600. We saw the same issue when they released the F16 throttle. So, I mean, it's not new. It's just disappointing. So I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, right? So, but that said, it is available on Amazon. You can pre-order it right now. It's available on the Thrustmaster store. You can pre-order it there. And it has a release date of May 22nd. So you're accepting pre-orders now, hoping to start shipping May 22nd. So if that is something you're interested in, there you go. Check it out. I do love that Thrustmaster is re-engaging in this part of the market, though. I think that's terrific. More competition is a great thing. I can't wait to see what other products they have set up in the lineup. I just probably need to accept the fact that I'm going to always think their pricing is a little out of touch, but that's just me. So, okay, on the hardware side, I want to talk about a community piece of hardware that's being developed that I think fills a really awesome void in the market, and that is being developed by Hoverstop. They are making a V-Stall throttle. That's right. If you like the Harrier just like me, you're going to love this. This is a community member developed V-Stall throttle. So this is being developed by Engines on the Hoverstop Discord server, which I have linked in the show notes. And I got some beautiful renders that he's put together of what this is going to look like. So that's right. You got a full Harrier throttle with the nozzle lever stops and a bunch of buttons and switches on the plate to really take your Harrier sim pit to the next level here. So I'll start off by saying this is going to be a small set of a smaller developed product in terms of the number of items being created. So the initial batch of creation is going to be just 30 units. And if there's interest, he'll expand this forward and maybe he'll release another set of products available for order. This is going to be work in terms of submitting a down payment or deposit. If you're interested in pre-ordering, it's $100 a deposit to pre-order. You could reach out and get in touch with him via that aforementioned Discord, which I have in the show notes, and pay via PayPal. But this is going to be a perfect rendition of the Harrier throttle. So you got the throttle and nozzle axes, if you will, the multiple nozzle stop detents, adjustable friction, throttle and nozzle friction. You got the gated idle cutoff with a micro switch, and then there's a bunch of other cool add-ons. You got the parking brake, which is going to keep the throttle and idle when it's on. You're going to have the jet pipe temperature limit toggle switch and actuating arm, the manual fuel control toggle switch, rudder trim toggle switch. You got multiple other user buttons, and then all the hats that you have on the Harrier throttle, a four-way hat for ECM, a five-way hat for the TDC, a cage unquate cage switch, and then again, user-defined buttons on the thumb and index finger. I mean, it's got it all. So if you're a Harrier lover like me, this is really, really cool to see. I highly encourage you go check out the pictures I have here in the show notes, or even better, join his Discord, check it out, and reach out to him if you're interested in pre-ordering. This looks like a can't-miss piece of hardware for those of you interested in the Harrier. And thank you, Hoverstop, for making this a wonderful piece of gear. I hope people who order from you are very, very happy with this product. Also want to give a shout out to Hoverstop on his YouTube page, which is at @hover_stop. He put together a freaking awesome video of a case one landing on an amphib. So if you're someone like me, again, who loves flying the Harrier, but maybe sucks at chip landings like me, this is a great video to watch. Head on over there, check it out, and maybe you'll be better at landing next time you attempt a case one recovery. So thank you again, Hoverstop. And that's, again, you can find him on his Discord under the username Engines. All right. And then finally, a little bit of a hardware review update. So I haven't really done this before, but I previously mentioned On Your 12 on this show. And he reached out about me testing out one of his F-18 master arm panels. So I just received that last week and a review is in progress. A spoiler, I have to say initial impressions of this piece of gear are fantastic. I already did a nice little unboxing initial impressions video. I'll probably put that up on my YouTube page, which you can find at Stumanji, to check it out there. But you can expect a full review video to follow, and I'll most likely do a review of it on the podcast as well. But just want to let you know that that review is in progress. If you're someone who's been interested in getting your hands on a piece of On Your 12 hardware, since it was mentioned here on the show, based on my limited time with it so far, I don't think you'd be disappointed. But of course, welcome to wait for the full review, which we'll hopefully have next week. So that wraps things up from the hardware standpoint. So let's transition to the portion of the show where we highlight the work of people just like you, the community.
Really not tracking what they're doing exactly.
All right. The community news is where we cover the latest goings on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. And getting started this week, we got some BMS content. So I was looking for something new to feature for Falcon BMS, and our friend over on YouTube, Fiscus Fides, that's right, that's F-I-S-G-A-S, Fiscus Fides, brought us a nice round of tutorials, a new tutorial series for Falcon BMS. So the first one I caught this week was how to learn how to drop JDAMs with Fiscus. He got a great JDAM tutorial in pre-mode, so pre-planning. As he states, in the preset mode, he goes, "This doesn't cover all the technical aspects of the weapon and the related systems, but it will get you rolling with GPS weaponry in Falcon BMS." Now, before I go any further, I got the video on my show notes. The YouTube link for this is at Fiscus, F-I-S-G-A-S, Fides, F-I-G-H-T-I-E-S, Fiscus Fides. So his videos are short and to the point. And Fiscus is actually in the process of making several additional tutorials for Falcon BMS. So if you like the first one that you see, stay tuned. He's got more to follow. And actually, since I found him earlier in the week, he has already created some additional videos on JDAM lofting and JDAM usage with the targeting pod in Viz mode. So I think he does a great job of getting you the information you want in a quick and easy to understand format. And I always like highlighting people in the community who do really, really good work with the tutorials, especially when it comes to some of the other titles besides DCS, which I talk about enough on the show. So when I can feature IL-2 or Falcon BMS or anything like that, it's great to show off. He also gave himself a little bit of a shout on the Falcon BMS Reddit, which I have linked as well if you want to get in touch with him over there in addition to YouTube. So Fiscus, thanks for these wonderful tutorials. Keep them coming, man. I hope we see more of you in the near future. Okay, that said, sticking on, transitioning back to DCS, I want to have an update for you on something called Tactical Paddles. So if you're not aware of the YouTube page for Tactical DCS, it's at Tactical DCS. So just like it sounds, right? So the update this week for Tactical Paddles is a nice update for those of you who like carrier aviation. So this is something that was created by Tactical DCS and Dutchie. They say, quote, "This is the one-stop shop for all carrier operations. Track your approaches, get your greeny boards going with friends in the near future, and get feedbacks on your landings, with the goal of having as many servers onboarded to be tracked all free." So what does that all mean? Well, they've created a piece of server, back-end server software that will basically track your carrier landings, grade your approaches, put you, your status up on a greeny board for any server that is running this software. That's right. So you don't have to actually be logged in as a pilot. You don't have to register you don't have to do anything on your own end, right? I don't have to install this as a client on my own machine. As long as these servers are running this on the back end and I did one quick registration with them, I'll be able to track my landings wherever you go. So if, for example, your own squadron server is running this, but then Hoggett's running this, and then, maybe one of your friends has a local server running this. All three of these are running it. Multiple servers can all track your landings and spit it back to this one collection point and allow you to keep update. And so you can see how your friends are doing, your squadron mates, wherever they're flying. Sounds like a really great idea. So and then whenever you enter the game, it's going to register this and push it back for you. So this is an in-progress kind of thing. And if server admins are interested in doing this, they've set about to making this a very hassle-free process. So I've got a couple notes here on this, but essentially all it requires you to do is installing this piece of software from their GitHub page, which is a thing that will basically run in the back end and do all this work for you. And they answer a great set of questions here in regards to, well, what if I'm already running an LSO bot? What does this really get me? Well, their idea here is this is not to take away from anything that you might already be doing. This is some back end support that can be running in the background that basically takes what you currently have and makes it even better. So there, you know, this will provide some out of the box integration with Discord. So collecting landings, so it can integrate there. It can collect with a website. So their goal is to make anything you might have even that much better for not only for your server, but everyone who's flying. So just wanted to put this out here. There's a lot of great content on their website, which I've linked to at the bottom. It's paddles.contact. That's where you can go and learn more about this, how it grades, how you would use it as a user, and then you have some cool screenshots of what this looks like. I've also included a link to the Discord server. So again, this is intended if you are a big fan of carrier aviation and DCS like I am. This looks like a really cool feature to have on your server. Or if you don't have your own, maybe reach out to the servers you fly on and let their server admins know about it. And maybe it's something they can get up and running for you in the near future. So thank you, Tactical DCS. Thank you, Dutchie. It's always great to see community members coming up with a really cool functionality to improve the game. All right, shifting things over, we're back to talk about our old friend Sim Sedlo. He's got a really cool tutorial this week that is essentially sim agnostic. It's about making audio sound like you're speaking on the radio. So if you are a mission maker or you're a content creator, and you just want to make your voice sound like it's being, you know, going through a radio of an aircraft, he's going to walk you through how to do that. So all it requires is the free software Audacity, which is what I use when I'm doing my podcast as well. Got a link to the Audacity website here. And then head on over to Sedlo's YouTube page at Sedlo and just give him about 6 minutes of your time. And he's going to walk you through exactly how to make that happen. I just thought this was a really cool and unique tutorial. I know when I first got started making sound effects for the podcast, I was wondering, like, how do I make my voice sound like the radio? Is that something I want to do? This would have been invaluable to me. So I wanted to help spread the word on this great tutorial. I mean, Sedlo always does so many great tutorials, but this was a really interesting one from him and unique. And again, very agnostic of what sim you're flying, could just be useful if you want to make some fun videos for you and your friends. So check it out over there on his YouTube page. Thanks, Sedlo. All right, transitioning now over to something that I debated putting in the hardware segment, but it's really I'm featuring the community member here. This is about VR. So you're not going to hear me talk about this a lot on the show. In fact, I think this might be the first time I've talked about this show in 14 episodes. I am a pancake flyer. I fly in 2D with track IR. So I don't know much about the world of virtual reality, but I know many of you do fly in virtual reality. So, and if you weren't aware, Pimax announced a new headset earlier this week called the Crystal Light, which appears to be very focused on sim users. So if you're a sim enthusiast of the flight side, which most of us are, or maybe on the driving side, this looks like a really viable upgrade that could potentially replace the Reverb G2 market. Essentially, what I wanted to focus here was on the YouTuber Simhanger FS. So at Simhanger FS, a Simhanger flight simulation who does a great job of covering a multitude of flight sim related products and games. He focuses a lot on Microsoft Flight Simulator, but I think he does a great job of covering hardware in particular, especially when it comes to VR stuff. So he's got a great overview video, which will do a much better job of telling you about this headset than I possibly could. Other than to say, if you're familiar with Pimax headsets, I've heard pretty good things. Like, again, I haven't tested it myself. This particular headset is going to debut at $700 US without local dimming, or $900 US with local dimming. So if those words mean something to you and that price point makes you excited, I would suggest you go check out this video on the Crystal Light PC headset by Simhanger Flight Simulation. So, and stick around for some of others. Great content. He does a great job over there on his YouTube page. So, a little VR action for you. All right, finally, we have another Helios update. I love to focus on Helios updates. I just think it's a really powerful piece of software if you're flying BMS or DCS and you're interested in showcasing instruments or extracting some MFDs or other caution lights or things of that nature in DCS or BMS to a separate monitor. Helios is what you're going to use to do that. And the developer Bluefin Bima is back with another quick, and I do mean quick, this video is less than a minute. It's a tutorial on how you can add the F15E MPD to a completely blank Helios profile. So why am I doing that? Well, I think Helios can be a little overwhelming for people when they're first using the software. So this is just a really nice way of showing you how quick and easy it is when you want to use something that's pre-built and in this piece of software. In fact, they've already done a lot of work on adding viewports, adding instrumentation in Helios for you. So it's literally as simple as dragging and dropping it to wherever you want to go on the monitor. However, the software is not super intuitive. So the first time you fire it up, you'd be like, whoa, what is this? How do I even do this? That's where this quick video comes in. So if you've been on the fence about Helios and you didn't really know how to get started, it's only a minute, but I do think it shows you enough to kind of, oh, okay, that's what I need to do just to get started. And then you can learn from there. I also have links, as always, to GitHub page for Helios, the Captain Zine Discord, which is where you can go to learn a lot more about Helios and find pre-made Helios profiles on the Captain Zine website. And then finally, I have a link to Bluefin Bima's YouTube page where he's got this video. And as always, if you want to see more about what does Helios even look like, you can check out my YouTube page at Stumanji. I have a video over there. It's way out of date, but the basic concept is still the same. You can see what that looks like. All right, so that wraps things up from the community news. Let's shift on over to the user content of the week. So the user content of the week, sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial. Sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. And this week's a little bit different. I'm going to kind of end the show by going a little sim pit heavy. But to start that off, I wanted to feature the user content of the week as being a YouTube channel that I think a lot of you would really enjoy if you're interested in customizing your sim pit setup. So how I would start this off is I'd say if you make a video about your sim pit, I'm generally interested. I love seeing people's setups at their houses. If you make a video showing off how you built your sim pit, then I'm really interested. But if you make a video showing off how you built your sim pit with tutorials along the way on how you do it in a fun and engaging manner, then I'm going to make you the user content of the week. And that's what we have this week from MS Boy. So at MSBoy1218, that's at MSBoy1218, he's got an awesome YouTube channel with a recent set of videos that really showcase off a bunch of home-built products, including some of the stuff we've already talked about on the show, and that's probably why I'm so excited to see some of these in action. So to kick things off, he's got products from the Hornet Sim Shop on Etsy. Now, that's a vendor I haven't featured on the show before, but I probably deserve its own feature on a future episode. But that said, if you like beautiful recreations of the F-18 Hornet, that's a great Etsy store to set up. Check out. I got a link in the show notes. It's the Hornet Sim Shop. He also built the ejection seat handle. He also built an ejection seat handle that fits his Winwing Orion 2 base from Thingiverse. Now, this is from user Dylan in Motion over on Thingiverse. I hadn't seen this before, and it looks fantastic. So a 3D printed ejection seat handle, boom, mounts right there onto his Winwing Orion 2 joystick base. And then finally, the most beautiful thing was seeing him utilize the canopy open close switch from SRAM Tech that I featured on week 10 of this very show. I mean, to see someone actually building the thing that I recommended. Now, granted, he did this before I even mentioned it on the show, so I can't take credit for it, but it was beautiful. I felt connected. So there you go. All that said, really, really great channel. He's so enthusiastic about building a cockpit, about what you can do to make your setup better at home. You know, I just think it's a really good channel to stop by, enjoy what he's put out. He's got lots of additional content on general videos of DCS gameplay, some other material. I think you might like what he's got. So go and check him out. Let him know that Stumanji sent you on over there. And I've got links to two of my more favorite videos, which one was summarizing his current 2024 setup, and then one really walking through the Hornet Sims Shop's products from Etsy right after he got done printing them. So great content over there. Really, really great YouTube page. Thank you so much, MS Boy, for your great content. I hope you keep it up in the future. Look forward to seeing high quality content from you in the weeks and months to come. All right, so we already got done talking about really cool SimPit stuff, but let's throw a little bit more at you as we transition over to the SimPit spotlight.
You don't see any big stream of flames or smoke coming out, do you?
All right, the SimPit Spotlight is my favorite segment of the show where we highlight a community member's personal SimPit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joy of flying from home. And this week for you, we have the Cockpit Desk by FoxBatBat. So if you're someone who feels like your SimPit setup is limited to a home office or desk, then FoxBat is here to show you just how incredible you can actually make that when you use a little bit of imagination and a whole lot of 3D printing. So this is probably one of the more incredible videos I've seen. There are so many great ideas I wanted to pull from this, but the basics behind FoxBat's cockpit desk is he utilizes 3D printer and a smartphone and one extra monitor to recreate an entire modular cockpit with MFDs, all the gauges, the caution lights, even made throttle and front button boxes. And did I mention modular? Yeah. He has these 3D printed panels he can pull off and drop in when he switches between aircraft, whether it's F-18, Mirage 2000, Harrier, whatever the case may be. And the most beautiful part of all is he can install and remove this entire setup in 3 minutes or less. He actually has a video doing that very thing. So before I go any further, you can find his YouTube page at FoxBatBat2521, linked in the show notes. And I've got two really cool videos. One is focused on the main panel. So he's got like a 19-inch monitor, which he basically covered in 3D printed mounted panels. He even made his own MFDs. It's incredible. And then he's got these little, in the lower left and right-hand corners of the monitor, he can drop in instrumentation cover-ups. So he's running Helios behind all this. Again, shout out for Helios. But then he's by being able to drop in these 3D printed panels over the top, he's essentially recreating the full cockpit. It looks stellar. My words are not doing this justice. You have to go check out his YouTube page to really see what I'm talking about. But just stellar work. So all told, like I said, he can take away the whole thing in 3 minutes. He's got a Verpal, looks like it's got one of the older throttles. Or no, that might be the CMC. He's got this Verpal CM3 throttle on his left. He has a VKB NXT on his right. Then he's running two button boxes with a monitor up front. And then the coolest part of all is his cell phone serves as the caution panel. It's the entire caution panel, if you will. He just slots this Android phone, I think it is, right down into it. And he's got a 3D printed overlay that kind of divides up where all the lights would be. It just it's really, really cool. So if you can't hear from my voice, I'm pretty enthusiastic about what he's put together, and I think you might be as well. So highly encourage you to go over there, check it out, and I'll stop raving like a lunatic now, and we can move on. So anyway, thank you, Foxbat, for continuing to show your great work with the community. Really, really impressive setup. All right, let's shift things over to the listener feedback portion of the show.
612, departure radio check.
So if there's any news, community content, or a SimPit setup that you would like to see covered, you can always get in touch with the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or via social media. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram @thehangarbaypod. I always love to hear from you. Help me shine a light on great things going on in the community. I know I'm not seeing everything there is to cover, so please don't wait to let me know so I can get that featured on the next episode. I always like to hear what you guys think and what you'd like me to cover. And before I go even further, I probably should have said this up front. I got one last piece of news. This is probably going to get lost because it's at the tail end of the show. But Flight Sim Expo. I try to talk about that as much as I can. In the Flight Sim Expo coming up in June, if you haven't already bought your tickets, I believe the price is going up after May 1st. So if you're going to Vegas in June and you haven't purchased your tickets, this is one last note to make sure to buy them before the middle of the week. I have no idea why that came to me at the end of the show, but here we are. I guess that's my last piece of feedback to you in light of listener feedback segment. So anyway, with that said, that concludes another episode of The Hangar Bay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next weekend, as we always do around here, to get you squared away with the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. But until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Roger that. Let's go down low, out of deck. Unload 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at The Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter @thehangarbaypod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.